I'm a covenant man.
I'm a covenant man.
Living in the riches of my Lord and King, I'm a covenant man.
I'm a covenant man.
Committed to Him in everything, I do believe He'll come again. And I know one thing I'm gonna do till then is learn to live in the blessing of Abraham.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Covenant Living Broadcast. And let me tell you right off the start here, you cannot be a faith giant unless you are a love giant. Let me turn that around. In order to be a faith giant, you must be a giant in love. Glory to God. I'm David Weider. This is my wife, Lynn Weider, and you are watching the Covenant Living Broadcast, and we are so glad that you are. Welcome to the broadcast. Welcome to our Bible study today. Glory to God. Get that cup of coffee. Pull up a chair to the table. Grab your Bible and notebook. You're going to want to take notes, and let's get into the rich things of God. Father, we thank you for this broadcast, and we thank you for each and every person that is tuning in, watching, listening, all over the world on Roku, all the different channels and YouTube and all the ways we don't even know it's going out, plus all the audio podcasts. And we're so grateful for everything that you have put in place and blessed us with through our friends and partners. We're grateful. We're honored that you would allow us to be a part of what you're doing throughout this earth today and allowing us and assigning us to perpetuate our heritage of the word of faith through love. And for taking this higher, further, and faster. And we give you the glory for every life impacted, every body healed, every marriage restored, every family put back together. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, amen.
Praise God. Well, we've been doing a series for weeks and weeks and weeks, and it's continuing. Glory to God. It is a most wonderful, wonderful assignment, and we are having so much fun with it. Oh, glory to God. Let's start off. We're going to recap a little bit. We've been talking for weeks and weeks about making sure that we have the correct image of love, the correct image of Jesus and how he interacted with people so that we would know how to interact with people. And then we saw that it is absolutely that interaction, that display in walking in love that powers our faith, that makes it efficient, effective, and mighty. And it is in direct correlation to the degree in love of love in which we walk. And so we're continuing that this week. We're delving into different aspects of it. We're going to recap just a little bit about it because most of us have had a wonderful experience of hearing the word and what the word says about love. 1 Corinthians 13, the love, famous love chapter. And things like that. But, you know, to a large degree, and particular certain sections of the body of Christ as compared to others, have a really, really poor reputation for not walking in, not displaying, not functioning in displays of love. And there's all kinds of excuses that come up about it, you know, from tough love to, you know, everything else. And yeah, here's the deal. There is such a thing, but it's not a constant thing. It's a problem of ratios and priorities, and you keep the main thing the main thing, and you keep a hold of certain things while reaching for other things. Ecclesiastes 7:12 tells us. And so it's not a matter of certain things not being valid truths of the word. It's a matter of focusing only on those things to the exclusion of other things, particularly when in the grand scope of things, they're a minority where the scriptures are actually concerned. And so you want to make sure that you let the word interpret the word. And that way it gets our perceptions out of the way, our ideas out of the way, and lets God say what God's going to say. And so that's what we've been talking about in essence for the last 7 weeks or so. And we'll continue looking at the various details of what does a walking in love look like? What does displaying love look like? I mean, because you know, it doesn't do any good to talk about we need to do this if we don't know what that looks like. And so we're really now we're going to start pressing into what that looks like. But we want to press into, we want to solidify the fact that, yeah, we are supposed to be doing that. And so if you would leave, if you would start off with 1 John 3:16-18 there in the Amplified Classic, it really spells it out.
By this, we come to know, progressively to recognize, to perceive, and to understand the essential love that he laid down his own life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for those who are our brothers in him. But if anyone has this world's goods, resources for sustaining life, and sees his brother and fellow believer in need, yet closes his heart of compassion against him, how can the love of God live and remain in him? Little children, let us not love merely in theory or in speech, but in deed and in truth, in practice and in sincerity.
Well, see, that's part of what we're talking about there. You know, that the scripture she just read said, let us not merely in speech and or in theory. So some people would hear that and say, okay, so we're not supposed to do anything in speech or theory. We're only supposed to do it in practice and sincerity and things like that. That's not what that said. It said, do that, but also do this. It reminds, well, okay. I wasn't going to talk about this, but it reminds me of tithing. People try to say that tithing isn't in the New Testament or in the New Covenant. Well, Jesus said that the law ended at John the Baptist. So everything Jesus taught wasn't under the law. It was under grace. It was under the New Covenant. And he said, when he was correcting things, he told the Pharisees, he said, you tithe down to the very detail while you leave all of these things undone. You should do this and not leave these things undone. He didn't say you shouldn't tithe. He said you should tithe and at the same time make sure you don't leave these things undone because these things are important. And it's just the same thing like this. We, you know, certain we get in the habit of hearing these things. Let us not merely do this. Okay, I'm not doing that. No. It's not what it said. But then also, I really wanted to press in on the fact it is practice and sincerity is indeed is how this how love is walked out. Jesus said it this way. It's not just a one-time thing either. In verse 9 of John chapter 15, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. So, and if you look that up, you basically, you can say live there. Mm. You're supposed to constantly do it. Indeed. And in practice, and in sincerity, and in speech, and in theory. You're supposed to live there. As a matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 5, and I want you on your phone to look up the Strong's Concordance.
Okay.
This is, you know, we just kind of work here, so this wasn't necessarily where we were where we were planning on going. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 1, be you therefore followers or imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as, here again, as Christ has loved us, just as. So, but what I want to look at is the word walk.
To tread all around, walk at large, especially as proof or ability, figuratively to live, deport oneself, follow as a companion, go, be occupied with.
Be occupied with. Now those first ones, to walk at large, to walk all around, that always reminds me of the old country folks. You know, you get somebody that is a landowner and they get a new piece of land. Man, they go out and they walk all over that property. Why? Because they want to know every nook and cranny of it. They want to know how wide it is, how long it is, how deep it is. They want to know the trees that grow on this part of the property, the rocks that are over here on this part of the property. They want to know, be occupied with. Well, that's what we're supposed to do with love. Walk in love. Walk at it in large. Walk all around. Be occupied with love. And in certain camps, it seems as though we've kind of flipped that to where we're totally, completely occupied with faith and give little attention to love, when it should be the other way around. The last verse in 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter, says, but now abides, lives, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. Well, it has to be. You can't, your faith doesn't work without love. And God is love. So be occupied. Walk all around in love. And your faith knows no bounds. Glory to God. So this is something that we continue in. We live there. It's not a, I did this love deed over here, so that's my check off for the month. No, that's your check off for that moment. Now we're on to a next moment. Be thinking about, you know, and thank you, Lord. This, if you want to stand out today, you know, I remember my spiritual father years and years ago, the Lord told him, he said, I've got a sleeping giant in the earth. And he just knew in his spirit that the Lord was talking about the church. And he said, and I'm about to wake him up. And Brother Copeland was like, yeah, all right. Mm. And the Lord said, and you're the needle. And he said he'd be preaching along or he'd be doing something. And all of a sudden he'd say just the most outlandish thing. It just sounded sometimes it just sounded flat rude or ugly or whatever. And he'd be like, oh my God, you know. But it would shock people out of their box of thinking and allow them to think another way and get the truth of the word across. But today, in this environment, in this culture, if you really want to shock somebody, be kind. Mm-hmm. Everywhere we go, you're at the airport, the news channel's on, it's nothing but fighting, bickering, and strife. You're walking around, you're on the road, and you see all kinds of single finger salutes every day. People are rude, they're ugly. I got off of an elevator in California. I was preaching out there months ago. And I got off of an elevator and I was walking out to the person who was going to pick me up. And I was probably 50 feet down the hallway and I passed a guy that was carrying a big box of stuff. And after I passed him, about 3 or 4 steps after I passed him, I realized he's probably headed to the elevator. And he's got both hands full. So I turned around and I walked back and sure enough, he was headed for the elevator. So I went ahead and pushed the button for him. And then when the doors opened, I asked him what floor he was going. I reached around and pushed the button from the inside since he had his hands full. And he looked at me and he kind of cocked his head over to the side. He said, thank you for your kindness. You want to get somebody's attention today? Be kind. Walk in love. And then when someone says, thank you for your kindness, if the Lord gives you the prompting to do it, you can follow up with something like, that's no problem. That's what my Jesus would do. And let's let the Lord allow you to minister love and kindness to that person. Glory to God. That's some good shocking material right there. Glory to God. Okay, continue therein. This is where you've got to live. That's what I was getting to with that illustration. You got to be occupied with it. It's got to be on your mind all the time. When you see somebody, is there anything I can do to bless that person? Just be thinking that way all the time. You go into Walmart, be on the lookout. Can I bless somebody? It may just be with a smile. A smile can bless. You don't know where somebody else is at that moment. Somebody might be driving down the street and they just got word that there's a divorce pending. You don't know where somebody is. You may pass somebody in Walmart that just got a cancer diagnosis. You don't know what someone else is going through.
That waitress that's rude to you.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't know what happened. Her husband might have left her that morning. Took the kids. Or didn't take the kids. But you don't know. And a kind word, a smile, even a wave can transmit, display, extend. These are all words that we've read just last broadcast and this broadcast. That's what you're supposed to be doing in love. Extending love, displaying love in sincerity and in deed. All of these communicate love. And when you communicate love, you're communicating God, and it opens doors you can't even imagine. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. So you want to live there, be occupied, think it, have it on your mind all the time. And the thing is, we saw several broadcasts that faith works by love. And we saw that that word works means efficient, effective, and mighty. But I want to show you somewhere else where it talks about that, and that is in the book of James, chapter 5, if you'll turn over there. And I also want to look at it in the Amplified. James chapter 5, and this was outstandingly wonderful for me to find out, because this is one of my favorite scriptures. I have ministered this scripture to people and seen absolutely miraculous healings over the years. James chapter 5, and let's pick it up here in verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith. Now listen to me. This is the prayer we're talking about. This is the prayer. This is the subject of this passage, is the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Pray what? Pray the prayer of faith for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of faith of a righteous man availeth much. Now, read verse 16 in the Amplified Classic, please.
Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored.
Listen to this.
To a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man.
Listen.
Makes tremendous power available. Dynamic in its working.
Tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Now look this. The two words, effectual, fervent, in King James in verse 16. That is exactly the same Greek word. Those two words come from one Greek word. And that one Greek word is the word that's translated works, worketh, in Galatians 5, 6. Effective, efficient, and mighty.
Well, the word is where we get energy from.
Yeah, absolutely.
Inhale.
Yeah. And so the prayer of faith working through love makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Glory to God. Man, if that don't set you on fire, your wood's not just wet, it's drowned. I'm telling you, I have seen the miraculous, but it doesn't work if you're not walking in love. It's the prayer of faith powered by love that makes it effective and effectual and produces tremendous power, dynamic in its working. And remember, there's no end to love, or the degree of love that you can walk in, because there's no love, there's no end to God, and God is love. Therefore, there is no end to the amount of tremendous power that you can use against sickness and disease and the devil and demons and principalities and powers, poverty and lack, and every other demonic thing that is a result of the law of sin and death. Because remember, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you exempt from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. That's Romans 8. And that word free made you free. That means exempt if you look it up in the Greek. Praise God. Now, don't forget, we're putting a lot of emphasis on love. Well, yeah, wouldn't you put a lot of emphasis on God? That's what we're talking about. But not only that, I'm going to show, we're in James. Just back up to James chapter 1. James chapter 2, verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's the royal law. Hey, there's laws of the kingdom. There's the law of faith. It talks about the law of faith in here, but this is the royal law because it's God himself. Glory to God.
Well, and that also points out what some of the problem is it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you really love yourself?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you're having to view yourself the way God views you. I will say one of the biggest growth periods of my life about understanding the depth of God's love was when I had kids. And I realized the scripture about his mercies are new every morning. I totally got that because I could put my kids to bed at the end of the night and be like, oh my gosh. And I'd wake up the next morning and I'd look at those little faces and that love would just pour out of me to them. And I'd realize that's how God loves me. He doesn't get frustrated with me like I did my kids. He didn't get angry. But at the same time, knowing he loves me that much so I can love other people, because now I can take on his view of me.
Yeah. Now, you know, technically, you can grieve the Lord. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. But even that is right there in Ephesians chapter 4, and it's when you're not walking in love.
Yeah, it's when he's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. It's when the King James translated rebuked, where he straightly charged James and John because they didn't understand his character of love.
Yeah.
You know? But hey, talking about what she was talking about, love, do you love yourself? Listen here, Ephesians 2 straightens this out. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The Amplified says, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. That we're supposed to walk in those because we are his workmanship. His workmanship. God don't make no junk. He gave the most valuable thing he had, which was his son, Jesus, to get you. And then he recreated you in the image of Jesus, and you became his handiwork. Now, how dare you hate God's handiwork? Yeah. No, he loves you, and he instilled love in you. Oh, man, every description of love, remember this is a key. Every description of love in the Bible, outlandish as it may seem, don't look at that just as, oh my God, that's something I've got to do. No, that's something God does
towards
you. Every thought of love, every word of love listed in this book, God is thinking and saying about you. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Ryan Weeder, and I'm here with David Weeder Ministries. And I just wanted to talk with you a little bit about salvation and how easy it really is to commit your life to Jesus and accept him as your Lord and Savior. You know, God's a good guy. Jesus loves you. He loves you more than anyone ever possibly could. And he wants to be a part of your life. You know, it's really easy. It's really easy. It says right here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that's as easy as it is. You know, if you've been listening here on David Weider Ministries and you want Jesus to be a part of your life, you can do so. It's just that easy. Accepting him into your heart, believing with your heart, confessing with your mouth. And if you'd like to do so, we can do so right here and now. And I encourage you to just pray and repeat after me. Father, I want you in my life. I believe in my heart, and I'm confessing with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, I ask you into my heart. I thank you for being a part of my life, and I commit my life unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. And I just want to welcome you into the family. That's all there is to it. And I encourage you to keep on listening. You'll continue to keep growing here with the ministry. Welcome again to the family. It's great to have you. And if you have any other questions, you'd like to contact the ministry, feel free to go to our website. We've got tons of resources there for new believers and old believers, both the same. You'll be blessed by it.
Thank you for praying that prayer. Praise God. Jesus did all the hard part, left the easy part for you, and now you are his workmanship. You ain't no junk. He loves you. Every word, you know, I told you right before the break, I said every word, every thought of love listed in the Bible, described in the Bible, is what God is thinking and talking about you. And that's not just words I'm saying. The Bible says that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. Well, what do you think he's saying when he's interceding? Words of love, words of success, words of victory, words of peace, words of comfort. And hey, how many of you know Jesus gets what he prays for? So get in agreement with it. Say, yes, I do this. I do it sometimes multiple times a day. I said, whatever Jesus is praying about me, I agree and I receive it in Jesus' name, because he ain't going to pray nothing that I don't want. Glory to God. God is so good and he is faithful. If you stick with him through the hard times, through the challenging times, through the times where he can't seem to get it through to you with a stick, stay with it and he will get it to you. His arm is not short and he can do anything, including love you and love me. And he's always, 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 always for you. He's never against you. He loves you. Lynn and I love you so much. And Jesus is Lord.
Thank you, partners and friends, for helping make this broadcast possible. For more information about our ministry, contact us at davidweider.org or call us at 1-800-988-5380.